There was a earlier this week, or maybe a week ago, criminal law, and of course any of you who are listening who are really interested in criminal law, I hope it's not because you're a criminal, but in any event, in State versus Jones, again, it was an appellate division case, and the defendant's post-conviction relief petition, asserting his attorney's lien, his attorney's failure to file a direct appeal was denied. So the petition he filed for relief was denied. And the court found that there's no dispute. So I thought I had. Well, let's kind of wrap this. Other than a number of unpublished opinions, and I wish they'd publish more because they certainly make it easier to argue cases if you have an idea of what someone else did with precedent. So the kind of wrap next week, I'm not sure if I'm going to have a guest. A little bit difficult to get guests to come over the holiday weekend, but I'll be back with something. If I don't have to travel like I did today, I will be able to bring something else in and deal with it. So hope you will tune in. And tonight, we're just going to go. We're going to play the news, and then we'll come back with the sports guys.
USA Radio News with Kelly Sloan.
It's official. Britain is leaving the EU. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
British voters delivered a stinging rebuke to the country's political elite. They voted 52-48% in favor of leaving the European Union. British Prime Minister David Cameron, who had campaigned hard for the side to remain in the EU, announced his impending resignation.
The British people have made a very clear decision to take a different path. And as such, I think the country requires fresh leadership to take it in this direction.
Former London Mayor Boris Johnson is believed to be the leading candidate to replace Cameron. I'm Jason Wirt.
And stocks are taking a beating on Wall Street following Britain's vote to exit the European Union. The Dow has slid more than 500 points today as the global financial markets plunged on the news. Bank stocks were among the hardest hit. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, everyone.
This is Life Tips with Geico.
Life Tip 1. Use a shower squeegee to remove pet fur from carpet.
Squeegee is also very fun to say. Consider it when naming a pet or child.
Life Tip 2. Switch to Geico and you could save hundreds on your car insurance.
With over 75 years of experience and a 97% customer satisfaction rating, they know what they're doing.
Geico. Get savings into your life. Visit geico.com today.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
President Obama is weighing in on Brexit. He says the U.S. supports the British decision.
We agreed that our economic and financial teams will remain in close contact as we stay focused on ensuring economic growth and financial stability.
In recent months, he had campaigned against Britain leaving the EU. But GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump supports Britain leaving the European Union.
You're going to have, I think, many other cases where they want to take their borders back. They want to take their monetary back.
Trump is currently in Scotland. Several people are dead, including two toddlers, after devastating floodwaters engulfed West Virginia. Nearly every county is under a state of emergency. Yesterday's rain sent cars sailing down flooded streets and knocked out power to tens of thousands. A new poll shows a majority of Americans support gay marriage a year after the Supreme Court's landmark decision. The CBS News poll finds 58% are in favor of legalized same-sex unions. This is USA Radio News.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then U.S. Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
House Republicans are unveiling a new tax reform plan at a Capitol event. Speaker Paul Ryan said the plan aims to simplify the U.S. tax code and make it more fair. He noted that taxpayers should be able to fill out their returns on something no bigger than a postcard. Congressman Kevin Brady of Texas says the plan will bust up the IRS, forming three smaller entities to better serve taxpayers. The plan also gets rid of the inheritance tax, which Republicans call a death tax. A legendary bluegrass artist is dead at the age of 89. Randy Fuller has more.
A family member noted on Facebook that Ralph Stanley died at his Virginia home after battling skin cancer. He's considered one of the founders of bluegrass music and was inducted into both the International Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame and the Grand Ole Opry. His music found a new audience with the Coen Brothers film, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I am the man of constant sorrow.
Ralph Stanley, dead at 89. I'm Randy Fuller.
Dozens of people are being treated for burns after walking barefoot across hot coals at a Tony Robbins seminar in Dallas. Ambulances and buses took people to the hospital from the convention center Thursday. The self-help guru's website advertises the motivational seminar as an Unleash the Power Within event. This is USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. For more news, go to our website at usaradio.com.
Hello. Well, we're back. It's the sports guys. At least it's Bill and Pat. Let me tell you about the weather, Bill. You're going to love it this weekend. Mostly sunny tomorrow. High about 84 degrees, which is great. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, but a great sleeping weather. 58 degrees should be the low. And again, it was mostly sunny today, mostly sunny tomorrow. Partly cloudy tonight with great sleeping weather. Again, tomorrow night, Saturday night, mostly clear, and then patchy fog into Sunday, where we'll start with patchy fog, and then again, nice, sunny, about low 80s, and into Monday. I mean, it sounds like it's great weather to go down to the boat, great weather to be outside. Not even too hot to do work in the yard.
Yes, Pat, it's after 5 o'clock somewhere, and that somewhere is right here, Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. I'm Bill Wolfson, and good afternoon, Flemington and the rest of Hunterdon County and those of us who listen on the Internet. Folks, it's been a gorgeous day. It's not too hot. It's just right. I spent, unfortunately, all day in court in Freehold and rushed to get here. And I can tell you that I think half of New Jersey is heading to the beach because I was on 195 about an hour ago. And boy, was it packed. I'm heading to the shore myself tomorrow. I'm leaving at 7:30 with one of my buddies. We've shaken down the boat, and now we're going to go from Tom's River and the beautiful Ocean Gate area all the way down to the lighthouse. And then what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and come back. We're going to check out how Oyster Creek Channel's been dredged by the U.S. Coast Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers. So, folks, it's a good weekend to be on the water. But if you can't be on the water, and hopefully, like Pat, you can be in your pool swimming around. And hopefully,
if you look at my pool.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's still green.
Oh, there's alligators in it?
Yeah, well, let's not talk alligators. Well, but you wouldn't know. I mean, you couldn't tell.
Meanwhile, for those of you who are looking for something cool, the NHL draft is coming up this weekend. Once upon a time, the NHL was only 6 teams, but now it's expanding again.
Really?
And we're going to get a team in Las Vegas to start in the 2017-2018 season.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that what do you mean the 2017 season? That'll be the fall of 2017?
Won't be this year, but the fall of 2017, the team that's tentatively been named the Las Vegas Black Knights – is going to start playing hockey. Now, Pat, how they managed to avoid the Las Vegas gamblers, I don't know. I think the NHL is shocked to hear that gambling went on in Las Vegas. But
well, let me ask you something,
hockey
though.
Hockey players just aren't that bright, I suppose.
So they will draft this year, so they have a year to practice?
No, they'll draft at the end of the coming 16-17 season.
So they don't get to draft now and have people work on putting that team together for a year. They'll draft next year at this time and then have to start playing in the fall.
That's right.
That's got to be tough.
In October. It is tough. Remember also that each team can only lose one player.
So that's different than football.
Oh, yeah. And the second thing is they can only protect one goalie, six forwards, and I think four defensemen. So everybody else is up for grabs. And I can think of a couple of Philadelphia Flyers where I'd like to see them try to get rid of at least four of them. And I won't mention their names, but these guys just haven't helped the team this year.
So, again, so each team can lose how many players? Just one?
You can only lose one. Remember, there's 30 teams in the NHL. And so the roster is usually about 22 or 23 players, maybe 24. Usually you dress 18 every night plus a goalie. So you have everybody else is what's called a healthy scratch who sits up in a press box and watches the game. So there's going to
be... So in other words, and I think we should talk about this a little bit for listeners that don't know. So unlike football, when you have the number, they can actually have additional people that they call scratch. I mean, is there any limit to the number of additional players they can have as long as they're not on the roster?
You're limited to a roster of, I believe, 24, but you can only dress 18 or 19 players for a specific night. So anybody above the 18 or 19 are considered healthy scratches. Now, you may want to sit somebody who simply needs what I call a mental health day or maintenance day. Or you may want to sit somebody who's not been a productive scorer, but have them available in the practices and see if he can crack the regular lineup.
So what happens that night? They couldn't if
they simply don't put on their uniform.
And they can't put it on, let's say halftime. They can't change.
Certainly not. You're stuck with the guys you dressed.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very different than football, where I think you have a 56-man squad or a 53-man
squad. I thought it was 53, but I could be wrong. I think it should be more.
And what you end up with is...
And then you have the practice.
Then you have a practice squad, or used to call it a taxi squad, because they drove taxi cabs for a while. But my take is that there are going to be a number of people drafted... expansion draft, which will not happen until next summer. However, we are going to have the NHL draft coming up Saturday night in Las Vegas, and it's going to be an interesting draft. There are some very good young forwards and defensemen. A lot of them have grown up in the southern part of the United States where things have become kind of a hockey hotbed.
Well, Bill, let me ask you. When you say draft, does that mean that none of these potential draftees are playing in the minors?
They're all playing in the minors,
they
or college,
are
or in the Quebec, what's called the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League or the Western Hockey League.
Again, what about if somebody is playing, for example, we saw the Philadelphia Flyers, their minor team. Can somebody draft from that team?
No, those are guys who've already been drafted. You're talking about the Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
Right, the Lehigh
Valley.
These
are guys... Yeah, these are guys who we got to see play, when was it, Pat? February?
I think it was.
And it was a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll be doing another sports guys trip up there this
fall. But then, obviously, that minor league team is an addition to the roster.
That's right. Those minor leaguers are guys who are in the American Hockey League. They've been either drafted or they have been assigned... contracts. They've signed contracts with the Flyer organization, and they play a regular schedule, regular NHL rules for the most part. Additionally, these are young guys who are on the way up or who are being given a tryout to see if they can really play at a very high level.
And they may be rehabbing, too. Yeah. I understand that.
Exactly.
So, but the, now the draft goes out, and they can draft from anyone, I guess, not just college, but
right.
they as draft well, right out of high school, correct?
Right. As long as you have not signed a contract with another team, and you cannot draft anybody who is less than 16 years old, first of all, under the NHL rules. But you also have some other rules going on here. A lot of these people who get drafted may decide to go play over in Russia in what's called the Continental Hockey League. And, you know, they may have turned pro in Europe or played in the German League or in the British League. Some of them are pretty experienced guys who've played in a very good league in Sweden called the Elite League, which is like a limited just to Swedish teams. And you'll see a lot of people over there who were fans of one of my favorites, Peter Forsberg, who did play in the juniors in Sweden, was drafted by the Flyers, eventually traded to Quebec for Eric Lindros years ago, and Lindros ended up with the Flyers. Forsberg ended up with initially the Quebec Nordiques, and then they moved and became the Chicago Avalanche. And he was one of those amazing skaters and stick handlers who made everybody around him better. He was, I won't say he was as good as Wayne Gretzky because nobody has been, but he certainly was up there.
Forsberg, okay, so
unfortunately stopped because of leg injuries.
So we're now talking about the NHL draft, but then there are other drafts.
Right.
Going lower. So explain that, because actually my grandson was just drafted.
Oh,
but
for
he's
what?
Drafted in a team that plays out in Rochester, Minnesota, and he was drafted right out of high school. So
oh.
that's that under, I think there's, is it an under 21?
Yeah. He may have been drafted by the, what's called the U.S. Hockey League, which has a lot of teams in the Midwest. One of them is a team that's been around for a very long time, the Fort Wayne Comets. I don't know what team is in Rochester, Minnesota, but they're like semi-pro or pro teams. He signs a contract, he gets paid a salary, and there's a lot of training and conditioning that these guys get while they're playing hockey.
Well, my understanding is that whatever league drafted him, this is mainly for kids who are in high school. And a lot of them get drafted, play a year or two, and then go on to college.
That's correct.
So then, you know, it's kind of that a step, so they really get a lot of good hockey training, and go instead of going right from high school into college, they do this instead because they're playing hockey 24/7.
That's right. What happens is this. At 15 or 16, a lot of kids in Canada and also in the U.S. Can actually be drafted by an NHL team and then assigned to one of these junior leagues, such as the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, which is probably the best of them. And you'll see guys who are anywhere from 15, strangely enough, up to about 19. And basically they move out of their parents' house because maybe where they're playing is 300 miles away. And their job is to go to school in the morning and to play, practice hockey in the afternoon and to play hockey at night.
Well, I think most of us have heard about, how Canada for many, many years have had the leagues, but I didn't realize how prevalent, I guess I should say, that was in the United States until recently, that they have this whole league of basically of kids who, you know, instead of going right from high school to college and playing, you know, they play and some of them go on to college and some of them don't. I guess they're all hoping that they could go right up to, the NHL.
Well, remember, guys like Wayne Gretzky were playing in the NHL right after his 18th birthday.
Right, I remember that. But he played in one of those Canadian leagues before that, because he moved out of his family's home and moved into, where was it that he played?
A place like Rimouski or Laval, which both have big followings.
No, there was somewhere else, because he lived in, I think, a small town way out, and I don't remember where he played before he went into the NHL, but he played in, you know, one of those junior leagues.
He also played in the World Hockey League or World Hockey Association, where he was an Indianapolis Racer for about a year, and then the team folded. When the league folded, they incorporated a couple of teams, and they dispersed the rest of the players to various NHL teams. So what you had was a league that was sort of like a rival to the NHL. There's never been a really successful league in North America to the National Hockey League. I think people are pretty loyal to their local team in the NHL. You have the problem of it's very expensive to hire and keep good players, particularly guys who are making $6 or $8 million a year. Obviously, the salaries are nowhere like they are in football or basketball or baseball, but it's an expensive sport, and you're limited to the number of seats you sell, and you're limited to the size of the television audience. You know the old joke about why there are so many Canadians in California, Pat. They all move there to get away from hockey. So,
They moved there to get away from the cold.
Well, that might have something to do with it, but joke is they move there to get away from the NHL. Which, of course, the NHL, having expanded all around the U.S. Southwest, has been rapidly catching up to them. I'm excited about the team in Las Vegas. I think it's going to add some pizzazz to the NHL. Hopefully they will draft good players and be competitive. The real problem that you have in any expansion draft is somebody's going to spend $500 million for a team that's going to win 28 games. Who wants to do that?
But
that's,
you know,
no fun.
On the other hand, you're right, but on the other hand, because people go to Las Vegas to, you know, have fun, I wouldn't be at all surprised if, you know, hockey fans or even lukewarm hockey fans, if they're out in Las Vegas, they're going to go to a game.
I would think, but, you know, in Vegas there's so many other distractions. We don't have John Manfredi here to tell us about them all, but there are... You can eat yourself silly. Of course, you can gamble. You know, there's also all kinds of sports betting parlors.
You know, and there's shows. I understand
shows,
that. But people,
and amusement parks right in the middle of the
casinos.
Yeah,
but people that go out there to vacation, they want something going on almost 24/7. And that's
just
why
about,
I think that, you know, there's not an, you know, they can't watch football. I mean, except on television. So I would think that it'll be interesting to see. But it'll be interesting to see, not only I think that they'll have a lot of people who work in Las Vegas who, you know, they want something different because they're there all the time. It will be interesting. I think that they'll draw a different crowd.
Well, you know, Vegas has the University of Las Vegas, Nevada, running Rebels, a good basketball team. I don't know how they are in football, but I know they're a well regarded NCAA Division I basketball team. They have the Mets minor league franchise, AAA, I forget what they're called. Vegas has had an East Coast Hockey League franchise for a while that Clint McClarchick owned, a former goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs, Boston Bruins, and I think the Vancouver Canucks. And they did have a small arena, but I hear they're building a real state-of-the-art facility that's supposed to be absolutely dazzlingly pretty. Additionally, the cool thing, I think, would be if you're out in Vegas and you happen to be, say, from New York and the Rangers or the Islanders or the Devils are playing, it would be kind of neat to go see them.
Oh, I think that's one of the reasons there'll be a draw for whatever team anybody visiting. And, in fact, I wouldn't be at all surprised if people will, you know, schedule vacations to be out there when their home team is actually playing in Las Vegas.
Yeah, it's occurred to me that, you know, the NHL schedulers sometimes think about this very carefully. Usually when the Rangers are on the road, the Islanders are in town and vice versa. So what they do is they now have the issue of, you know, have the Rangers go into Vegas, and then maybe two nights later the Islanders play there. So that's going to be interesting to see how the schedulers deal with that type of opportunity, because remember, it's not just putting people in the seats. It's also getting those eyeballs to watch the television set. The NHL has increased their ratings year after year, and yet they've managed to keep their advertising revenues to their sponsors very reasonable. So for, you know, the average big beer company or car company, the NHL advertising is still a pretty good ad buy. Whereas with football and baseball and basketball, it's on the moon these days.
Well, that's interesting, because I'm not sure. Well, I shouldn't say that. I mean, I watched hockey, I can't tell you how many years ago, on a little black and white television. Of course, I was in, you know, out in Illinois, and there was nothing else to do. But they televised hockey, and I regularly watched it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Of course, now, unless you, if you have, you know, well, I guess it's like anything else. I was able to get the Blackhawks, but nobody else, because that was where, you know, the Blackhawks played out there.
The local networks carried them. If you wanted to listen to, say, the Maple Leafs or the Canadiens, you had to listen on AM radio, listen to the crackling, and hopefully you could follow the game through the static.
Well, but at least you could listen. I mean, I remember coming east, and I couldn't even get the Packers score.
That's bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, but you do wonder, you're talking about scheduling, and you do wonder, though, sometimes how in the world they schedule these teams. And I'm specifically thinking this year about the football. I mean, it's unbelievable to me that the Packers have three consecutive home games in October. I mean, it's great, but, I mean, that's just unheard of.
I think that's really great for their fans, because they get to watch three straight games and not freeze to death.
Well, and of course, for other people like us, we can go out there and watch three straight games and, you know, not have, you know, not fly back and forth three times.
Exactly. There's a lot of attraction to that. What I don't understand, though, is why the schedulers did it that way. Are they playing conference teams all at home?
No. They're playing they're actually only one division team. Because they're playing the Giants,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, they're only playing one division teams, but they're playing the Giants on one Sunday. They're playing Dallas the next Sunday, and the Bears on Thursday night.
Well, that's exciting.
So I mean, there are three good games back to back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're planning our escape from New Jersey. For those three games, and actually to do it in October, Wisconsin weather is beautiful in October. I don't want to give the Giant fans any incentive to go out to Wisconsin for that game, because it's hard enough to find any accommodations now. I mean, it's just almost impossible.
Well, but I guess we're all going to have to figure that one out, because hopefully I'll be able to get to go out there and join you, Pat.
Well, I hope so, although I'm not so sure. John was talking that maybe he won't be able to go out. So we'll have to. I was hoping he'd be here today so we could finalize our plans.
It's tough to sort those things out, isn't it? The surprise to me is that a town like Green Bay only needs all those hotel rooms when the Packers are in town.
You're absolutely, absolutely. And you should see the rates. I mean, the rates will go up. First of all, most of them, it'll be a two-night minimum. And you can easily pay $400 to $500 a night for a room that ordinarily during the week will go for $100 or less.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, they're... Occupancy rates out there must be really minimal at other times. They just don't have that many people, that many business people coming in. And when you think about it, though, look at a lot. There are so many hotels like in this area, but they obviously rely on business people who are staying there, you know, short term or long term.
That's right, or else maybe they have a banquet business or something like that.
Yeah, but there are a lot of hotel rooms. If you really look around, even this area.
Oh yeah, there are a lot. The hard thing for me though to understand is how these hotels survive. I mean, the Packers play 8 games, and then if you add the exhibition games, maybe they play 10 altogether, 10 dates locally. So they've got to make their money while they can. And then it's a long, cold, hard winter out there, as you've said many times. And, you know, it's one thing to go skiing in the Rockies or the Laurentians or the, you know, up in Vermont or Pennsylvania. But it's another thing to go to Green Bay in February.
Although I think they have a fair amount of summer tourism, although I'm not so sure. Mainly that's up on the lake in Door County. But really, it's interesting now that they have all these Airbnb people are putting their homes where you can stay in someone's home. I wonder, you know, how many people are doing that. So far, I haven't had to look into that, but it may be. Because, and yet they're building new hotels. I know we had always stayed at a Residence Inn. And a couple of years ago, the Residence Inn sold the Residence Inn because they're in the process of building a new Residence Inn. So they must have found it profitable enough that, you know, they're able to build. And I, you know, when you think about it, pay a lot of money for a hotel room.
You do,
they must recoup their money pretty quickly.
Well, you have to hope so. Hotel rooms are like airline seats. You know, once the day goes, you have lost all that revenue, so you really got to maximize it. Whether it's, you know, plus you've got all the advertising costs, it's expensive. And I know around here in Hunterdon County, some of the hotels are making their money because they have traveling teams that come down to play at the Health Quest or at the Diamond baseball facility. And that's a nice thing because it brings some money into the area.
In fact, it looks like there might be something going on. When I came into the station today, it looked like there were a lot of cars there, so there must be something going on today.
Over at Health Quest, I think so. Either
well, Diamond Nation is what I saw.
I think there is a big event going on there. I was going to go there to work out last night, and it was pretty crowded. I was looking to find a parking spot. And I may go over there to use the pool later this evening because you know, it's just nice to float along.
Okay. Well, Bill, let's play a few spots, and since we haven't done that yet, and then we'll come back and, you know, talk sports. It's almost time to talk football, but I'm sure we'll find something else.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Hey, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, Pat and Bill. We're here. John and Ken, we miss you. And, you know, you're probably figuring out some way to take advantage of this beautiful day. However, you're not here, so we're not happy.
Well, you know, and neither are the Philadelphia Phillies, although they got off to a really good start this year. They've managed now to lose, I think, 20 out of the last 24 games they've played, and they are rapidly sinking slowly and deeply into the National League East after giving all of us some excitement during the first 2 months of the season. It got to be mid-May, and all of a sudden it was like somebody pulled the plug, and they just started going down the drain faster and faster. Meanwhile, the New York Mets seem to be having some of the same problems. I thought the Mets were going to win it all and just run away with things this year, and they're a couple games behind Washington. The Mets haven't had the pitching that we all thought they would have. And, you know, hopefully it's a long season and they'll pick it up again. Meanwhile, the Yankees are flirting with 500. They're not having a good season at all, although their pitching has been decent. They are among the lightest hitting teams in the league. To see the Bronx Bombers, a team with guys like Reggie Jackson or guys who like Maris, Mantle, Berra, DiMaggio, Ruth, all these great home run hitters, and a lot of these guys who would routinely hit 300, and most of their hits were singles and doubles. This team doesn't seem like it can hit its way out of a paper bag, but, you know, again, it's a long season. Meanwhile,
but it's the end of June, so, you know, it's kind of interesting that the Phillies are, you know, have done that poorly.
That's right.
You know, remember that big a stretch.
This is a rebuilding year for them. Nobody expected them to be anything except a bad team, and they gave us 2 months of excitement and 2 months of hope. But remember, when you're a Philadelphia sports fan, you work in disappointment like Michelangelo worked in marble, Pat.
Well, you know, I grew up the Braves were in Milwaukee. We all became Brave fans, or most of us. That was a very interesting time because most of us, at least in southern Wisconsin, grew up and we watched and heard and listened to the Cubs. So we were really, you know, Cub fans. And then, you know, were you going to be a turncoat and become a Braves fan? But that was the time to do it. But talking about perennial cellar dwellers, I mean, if you're a Cubs fan, you know, you certainly got used to, you know, not having great teams.
And yet this year they're leading their conference, or their division, rather. And, you know, who knows? This might be the year the Billy Goat curse goes away.
And wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. You know, I've always wanted to go to Wrigley Field and see the Cubs play.
Well, I've always also wanted to go to see the Packers play the Bears in Chicago.
You've never been to
Soldier Field.
I have heard that Soldier Field was built in the 30s. Is that right?
I think it was.
And
now, it's probably been
oval bowl, isn't it?
Yes. And I think it was. I think they did some expansion, but not, you know, that was why when Lambeau, when they, you know, redid Lambeau, they tried to keep a lot of it very, very much the same. Now, it's not the old Lambeau Field. And, of course, Green Bay, they were playing in City Stadium until I think it was 57, but I don't know that the Bears have ever played anywhere else other than Soldier Field, have they?
I don't think they have either. It seems to me that if they played anywhere else, it was probably in the 20s or the 30s before Soldier Field was built. I just don't know.
And Soldier Field could even be older than that.
I thought Soldier Field was built to honor World War One veterans, to be candid, and I think it was probably built in the 30s.
That wasn't a WPA project, was it?
I don't know. It could have very well have been a Works Progress Administration product. It has a lot of the look of the Rose Bowl or the LA Coliseum in it. It's an oval, and it looks like it must seat 60 or 70,000 people. And it also has a look of the traditional old-time football stadium you would see in movies from the 30s and 40s or even the 50s. And I kind of like that look. Maybe I'm showing my age, but I just think it's neat to sit in an old, well-maintained stadium where they have kept up the attractiveness. The problem is, though, that now the teams want to monetize every square inch of the stadium with advertising. It's like in the NBA, they're now going to start putting ads on the players' uniforms.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. If you go to Europe and you watch a hockey game or a soccer game, they put all kinds of ads all over the players' uniforms. And to me, it's just silly. You know, it takes something away from the game. It means that they have spent so much money marketing the game to advertisers, and the advertisers seem to think that they should plaster their name over every inch of a player's jersey and pants. Hopefully the NHL will not do this, but I will tell you that it's annoying to sit in an arena or a ballpark or a football stadium, and you're continuously marketed to for stuff you don't want and you'll never buy.
Well, you know, the funny thing, and you've been to Lambeau, and some of the things that they do there are really funny. I mean, they're small town, like Century Grocery will, you know, give away a bag of groceries, or not exactly, but you know, they'll have somebody who, if they manage to you know, kick the football through the uprights, they get, you know, something local. You know, but it's all very, you know, it's really, most of the time it's pretty local and it's pretty hometown. And that's one thing about Green Bay. Most of their ads, well, I guess I don't know that for sure, but a lot of the ads are really very, you know, like, big thing would be Johnsonville Brats, which most of us have now heard about. But I can tell you, the first 20 years I lived in New Jersey, if you asked somebody about a brat, they had no idea.
Oh,
and
I
you certainly couldn't.
You had to go to Philadelphia for a good bratwurst.
Well, but not a Wisconsin brat. If you talk to people out here about brats, they were not the type of bratwurst that we're used to.
Well,
in
I don't
Wisconsin.
Know what kind of bratwurst you're used to, but in Philadelphia there was a German restaurant where they were beyond Teutonic. And if you wanted bratwurst, they brought you the same bratwurst you would get in a place like Dresden or Frankfurt or Berlin. And they even had bratwursts from flavored just as different places in Germany might make them. And it was an excellent restaurant. In fact, they would sometimes have bratwurst with cabbage, and they would prepare the bratwurst by cooking them in apple wine, and they were delicious.
I know. See, but the traditional Wisconsin bratwurst is soaked in beer overnight,
yeah,
and then usually cooked in beer.
Ah, well,
but it doesn't. Some people don't cook them in beer. But I mean, this is, you know, you soak it in a. I always soak it in a, you know, heavy dark beer, soak them, and then they're cooked. And you know, some people, I suppose, would. I don't even think the tradition is to have sauerkraut with them.
Well, the Germans like sauerkraut with just about anything.
Well, that's true, and of course, Wisconsin has a large German.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the beers. I mean, traditionally.
Have
you
ever had bratwurst cooked in Guinness?
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Well, that's, you know, the way I cook it, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Guinness.
Yeah, I'll use Guinness.
The interesting thing, too, is I've had there used to be a sausage chain, it sounds like a pun, doesn't it, called Zum Zum, and they came over from either Germany or Austria or perhaps one of the Scandinavian countries. And they became sponsors of the Phillies and Eagles. So the people would go to these food chain restaurants. There were three or four of them in the Philly area. And for a couple of bucks, you would get a very nice rye bread roll split. They would put a brat on there that had been simmered in their special sauce, which included a white wine. And then they would put sauerkraut on it, dust it with caraway seeds. And the sauerkraut was very sweet, but it had been simmered in beer.
Oh, no, isn't that interesting?
An excellent, excellent meal.
You know, not that this is sports, but I find, I really like the sauerkraut that they sell at the farmer's market.
I don't usually
cook it in beer. I usually cook it with a little brown sugar.
Well, that's a traditional way to do it. Remember, these are ethnic foods that are relatives who came over from northern or central Europe.
Well, and that's
because they
had
to get through a winter. There was no refrigeration, and they weren't very wealthy.
And, of course, the Amish are, you know, really German descendants. And,
yeah.
But, no, if you want some fresh sauerkraut, I think...
Well, that farmer's market's got all kinds of great stuff over there.
It really does. And they're really nice people. I mean, they're, yeah. If anyone out there, if you have never gone to the farmer's market, it's right behind the shop right off of 31. And they're really, you know, their apple fritters are to die for.
Oh, they are good.
Their meat is excellent. As far as, you know, the I don't like to buy ground meat most places. The eggs, I don't buy eggs anywhere else. And the chicken actually,
tastes like chicken, yeah.
Tastes like chicken. I was about to say talks like chicken.
Well, it might even walk like chicken by the time I'm done cooking it.
And the cheese, I think not that anybody, you know, if you ever find anybody who says they'll eat any kind of cheese.
I won't eat head cheese, Pat. That stuff is gross.
No, no. But I bet... Also, you know, anybody who said, if you ever run into somebody, you know, there are always these braggarts that, you know, I would eat anything. Go over there and buy Limburger cheese.
That smells disgusting.
And I'm telling you, it's the only place they make it anymore is in Wisconsin. One place. And, you know, if you taste it once, you would never taste it again. But he does carry Limburger cheese.
I don't know why anybody eats that stuff. But, you know, we've gotten far afield
from sports, haven't we,
well,
Pat? Well, not really, because, you know, take me out to the ball game. And as a kid, what did you eat at the ball game?
Popcorn, peanuts, and Cracker Jacks, and I didn't care if I ever got back.
Well, but you also ate hot dogs.
And I love hot dogs. I have to tell you, I have, you know, some people, well, they've got a problem with cocaine or they've got a problem with heroin. My problem has always been hot dogs. And I don't know what it is, but there's just something wonderful about a hot dog.
So, you know, I'm not a hot dog person, but brats, yes.
Yeah. Well, brats will do well. Knockwursts, Bauerwurst, if you've ever had it, it's like a white German sausage. They're all good. And the really cool thing is that, you know, if you travel around someplace like Europe or England, the sausages change from place to place.
Oh, well, Food does. In fact, if you can get authentic food almost any place, I mean, some of the best in the United States, some of the best Mexican food I've had on food trucks or these little dingy places out in California.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the best hot dogs I've had have been in Manhattan. We call them dirty water dogs because that's what they're made in. you know, the amazing thing to me, though, is going to Yankee Stadium and $8.50 for a hot dog. Give me a break. That's because they're paying a 190 hitter $6 million a year to sit on the bench, wave the bat three times, laugh, and sit down again.
Well, you know, we've had this conversation before, but I know when we went to the Devils game, I mean, I was shocked at what it must cost to take four kids there and have them eat.
Oh, it's astonishing.
Because even for two or three of us, it was ridiculous.
It's astonishing. And, you know, it's an interesting thing going on. We are seeing people literally priced out of professional sports.
Oh, I agree. I absolutely. Now, the one thing, of course, that they did in Green Bay that we're able to take advantage of because of Dave's sister is they do have a certain section of seats reserved for Brown County residents only because they agreed to be taxed at the time they expanded the stadium. But I think those seats now are about $70 each. And so
that's still significant hit for a
family. It's a significant hit, but, you know, to go to one game a year, look what it costs to go to a movie.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, if you're living in that area, you know, it's, I don't know, certainly people do the season tickets. It's another thing because now they have the seats and everything else they charge for. But, I mean, that's still pretty reasonable compared to what does it cost to go to a Yankee game?
Oh, I think the cheapest seat in Yankee Stadium now is about $45. And I haven't been to a Yankee Stadium.
Oh, I thought it was actually higher than that.
But I've heard that there are seats that cost $500-$700 just to.
Well, did you hear about the finals? I'm trying to remember what somebody paid for two seats. They announced it.
For what?
At the basketball finals.
Oh, I heard that, like $7,500.
Oh, I think it was more than that.
Really?
It was.
Well, for the NBA finals.
Yeah,
I'm not an NBA fan, but the thing that's always amazed me is that it is so expensive to go to an NBA game. It's actually more than to go to a hockey game.
Wow.
And if you go to Philadelphia and watch the Sixers, which you need, you know, the way the Sixers have played the last couple of years, you need a strong stomach. But you get to see a lot of the other NBA stars. And I'm not a basketball fan, but I'll go maybe once every 2 years. And I was astonished at how empty the place was, even when a good team like the Oklahoma Thunder mm-hmm. were in. I think they just won where the Cleveland Cavaliers were in, and they had just won their first championship. But, you know, it was like if you gave a basketball game for 50 of your closest friends, they would all be there.
Wow, that is amazing.
It was really empty. And, you know, we sat in the upper part of the mezzanine in Wells Fargo Center, and it was still a $70 seat. And, you know, I'm not a big NBA fan. I would much rather watch college hoop. I'm convinced that in the NBA, nobody starts playing until it's the last 3 minutes of the game.
Although I have to tell you, that final game, that, you know, that was an exciting game. I mean, they were so close. You know, last 30 seconds, you know, any one of them, either one of the teams could have won that game.
Oh, yeah. And frankly, I'm not a LeBron James fan by any means, but I was glad that Cleveland finally won something. Because last time Cleveland won anything, it was the Browns, and it was 1964.
Yep. And 52 years ago.
Right. And I was watching the game with my uncle and my cousins.
And you remember that?
Oh, I sure do. And my uncle said to me, they're never going to win anything again in Cleveland, especially in football. And I looked at him and I said, gee, Uncle Larry, how do you know these things? He said, because in World War II, he had been stationed outside of Cleveland during the winter when he was in the Navy for some kind of training or to pick up a ship or something, and he really did not enjoy the experience.
I'm not sure he was picking up a ship in Cleveland unless it was a pretty small boat.
Well, you know, Cleveland is where George Steinbrenner's shipbuilding company was, and they built a lot of ships for the lake.
Actually, they did build, and they built they did shipbuilding in Wisconsin during the Second World War.
Didn't they build Liberty ships in the Great Lakes? And
I don't remember.
Take
but
it through the Welland Ship Canal to get around Niagara Falls and out to Halifax and then over to England.
Well, I do know that they did a lot of shipbuilding back then. So let's play a couple spots and then
we'll
come
back. You want to hit that money button, Pat? Go right ahead.
Well,
I could keep talking. I don't know about you.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in the Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, Bill, do you have some parting words for this? Can you believe it's – is this the last Friday in – Yeah, isn't
it's
it the last
Friday
in June? Boy,
well,
this month has gone by quickly.
You know, the months go by faster and faster. I don't know about you, Pat, but if it weren't for sports, I'd have to work all the time.
I feel like I do work all the time.
I'm starting to feel that way, too. Saturday I'm going sailing. The boat is ready. Everything works. Although I will tell you the air conditioning pump seems to still have a little leak. I've got to get the canvas on. I was actually going to try to get sneak down there today after court for a couple of hours and get the Bimini and a Dodger on, but that's going to happen tomorrow morning now. I'm leaving around 8. I've got a friend coming with me.
You know, the nice thing is because the boat, you have a certain number of months that you can go down and enjoy it, it must at least give you some incentive to, you know, go down more often than you would if you had all year.
Well, let me put it to you this way. I would sail that boat in February if I could continue to stand the cold. I've sailed as late as the first week of December on that boat. And, you know, cold weather sailing, if the only problem with cold weather sailing is the days are so short.
Right.
And once the sun drops below the horizon right around the end of October, it gets very cold very fast. So that's always a problem.
So the water doesn't stay warmer and make that more pleasant?
It could. It kind of does because you can, you know, around here the waters really don't start getting